and welcome to another episode of Connectivity. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and with me for this first segment is Zach Miller.
What?
Since we're without our two editors, we're doing something a little bit different. We're kind of just talking about what we want to talk about. And first off, Zach and I are going to talk a little bit about Bioshock Infinite. If you're worried about spoilers, we will clearly tell you when the spoilers happen. But right now, we're going to talk about it a little broadly. I talked about it the other week, but Zach, you haven't gotten to talk about this game at all. So no. What are your kind of like basic feelings about it?
I like the first one more.
I think I like playing the first one more than I liked playing the Infinite. I like the story and the kind of setup for Infinite a lot more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Boy, I like the setting of Rapture a lot more than Columbia.
I like the kind of brighter art, like the brighter art direction is really what kind of draws me to Infinite a little more as far as that. Although, I mean, the setting of Rapture is kind of like, it is really good.
It's really different.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever want to play that game again, though.
What?
Really, either of them. The first Bioshock, I mean, I played it, and once you get to the twist halfway through, which we're getting near the point where it's been 7 years, guys, come on.
Statute of limitations.
And then after that, it just kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, the rest of the game, there's
really
definitely
left
a lag.
Bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, it just kind of stops being fun after a while.
Yeah.
But the second the second game actually holds up more evenly throughout.
What, like Bioshock 2, you mean?
Or, yeah.
Yeah, I have that. It's free because of PlayStation Plus. Maybe I'll check that out at some point.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But, yeah. What the fuck
But
is
Infinite,
that?
the thing I guess I don't like about Infinite is that
is that another dimension? Is that like a tear from like Bioshock? Is that 50 Cent playing? That's in the club.
In the club.
Yeah, I haven't heard that song in like 10 years.
I remember this.
Wow. I guess should we go in?
I don't know, Neil. If we go in, I don't think I can bring us back.
I mean, there's only one way to find out.
All right. Why not?
Is that Metro? Oh, man. Metroid Prime music. Sweet.
I love this game.
And with me today, we've got Patrick Barnett.
Hello, and I just want to get back to playing Wind Waker. I just want to do it.
I mean, don't we all, man? We'll talk about that a little later. If you're not playing the new Zelda game, I don't know what the hell you're doing, like, just at all. And we've also got one of our Canadian friends, Tyler Olu.
Hey!
You know, I need to take this time and pour one out for a show from Canada that's very near and dear to my heart. Clone High, it was on MTV for like 3 episodes before they canceled it. Now it's officially dead, which is a bummer. I wish there was some way I could watch this now that it's done, but I don't know. It just sucks. But enough diversions. Let's get to the news. I guess I should say that here we are. It's April 10th, 2003. As Patrick said, We're still reeling from Wind Waker. I mean, it's pretty fantastic. We have 2 reviews up on the site, one from our director, Billy Berghammer, and also from Rick Powers. They both love the crap out of it. And I guess let's start with some exciting news that might lead to Final Fantasy being back on the GameCube on Nintendo systems for the first time in, like, forever, man. and that's Squaresoft and Enix are finally merging. We talked about it in November when it first got announced, but now it is a reality as of April 1st. So now they're called Square Enix, and Yoichi Wada is the new president. He's from Square. So, yeah. Okay. What do you guys think about this?
I don't know. I barely know, like, I'm not even that familiar with, like, Enix, like, at all. Like, I think we've had, like, a couple Dragon Quest games.
I only know it as Dragon Warrior.
Yeah.
I played, you know, the one on NES.
Oh, I did play that one. I remember.
Yeah, and then Dragon Warrior Monsters on the Game Boy was pretty cool. Oh, yeah. But I haven't played any other games in that series. I know it's huge in Japan, but that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, it's just the whole Squeenix thing's like, Squeenix? Like, so stupid. Like, I don't really, whatever. I'm like pumped as long as it doesn't like affect any like weird plans. And of course it makes me excited that they could come back to Nintendo. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing that you want, just more games on the Nintendo platforms.
Yeah.
Hopefully we see that.
I mean, I guess the best thing to come out of this though is it looks like, well, I mean, we know that Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles game is coming out. Mm-hmm. And, hopefully that'll come over to North America too. We haven't heard anything completely confirming it, but it's coming out in Japan later this year. So
one can hope.
Squaresoft, I mean Square Enix is coming to Nintendo platforms, and that's very exciting. So as we all know, you know, Resident Evil is exclusive on GameCube, and we're still waiting for Resident Evil 4, which I don't even know what the plan is for that. It keeps on getting delayed. Yeah, so I mean, Resident Evil 4 is coming out at some point. But there was a rumor from Nikkei that Capcom is reconsidering its strategy on the GameCube platform. This was written by Bakudan Yoshinoya, one of our Japanese correspondents. And one of the reasons cited was that Biohazard, or Resident Evil, as it's called outside of Japan, it didn't really perform that well in North America, which kind of sucks. But, I mean, I didn't like that remake. I find those games kind of boring.
Oh, yeah. And those controls, like, the tank controls, like, give me a break. But, like, I don't know what Capcom's thinking. Like, the thing sold, like, over a million copies. Like, I don't know what they expect. Yeah. So I don't really understand this decision, like, whatsoever. It's really, really weird. And Resident Evil Zero, like, if they're lucky that thing sold at all, like, it's terrible. Like, it's no good. So, like, Resident Evil 4 is, like, the only thing that has me, that I have any interest in. So, like, it better still come to GameCube. Like, and only GameCube, that's the only place that it should be playing.
Yeah. Patrick, have you played any Resident Evil games?
I have not yet. Resident Evil 4 will probably be the first one I dive into. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, it's good.
I had a friend who got the GameCube remake. I haven't seen much of Zero. I mean, it seemed like there's some weird switching mechanic. I guess that's cool. I mean, Capcom, they replied on their Japanese website about this. And they said that, you know, as previously announced in September 13th, 2001, as of present, there are no plans to port Biohazard and Biohazard Zero, you know, Resident Evil and Resident Evil Zero, to other systems. Also, Resident Evil 4, which is currently in production, will be released for the GameCube as previously planned. There are no changes regarding our fundamental direction. So I guess that's encouraging.
Yeah.
In other news, there's a Metroid Prime 2 poll up on Nintendo.com. We know, you know, Metroid Prime came out last year, and it was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was just Super Metroid, man. And that's kind of what it was, but it was in first person. It was still pretty cool, though. But this poll up, you know, Metroid Prime 2 is rapidly approaching. I mean, we don't know too many firm details. They're asking about if you want more Game Boy Advance connectivity, if you want it to be a side-scroller or not, or maybe multiplayer, or have it be tougher and longer.
I think multiplayer.
You can only pick one option.
I think multiplayer could be cool, because it is that kind of first-person shooter. And
yeah.
Kind of GoldenEye reminiscent of that.
with that Halo game that everyone keeps on talking about on Xbox. I mean, it'd be nice if Nintendo kind of had a multiplayer game to go up against that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I mean, it's been a long time since Perfect Dark. I mean, I still play that game from time to time because I still have my N64 hooked up. But, I mean, it's been like 3 years since that game. And, you know, I think Nintendo needs to get another first-person shooter out there.
Is there, like, any way we can organize, like, a poll bomb and just make sure everyone just votes that they want it to be a 2D side-scroller? Like, that would be amazing. Like, that's what I want. Like, more than anything.
It would be like, hey, Retro Studios guys, you know, we know you've made this first-person Metroid game. Now just make a 2D Metroid game.
Yeah, just...
I mean, maybe they could bring it out on Game Boy Advance or something. That would be cool.
No, they did say GBA connectivity. So maybe, like,
yeah.
Metroid Prime 2 would come to both GBA and GameCube?
That would be crazy. I mean, or maybe Metroid Fusion 2. I mean, I still haven't played Fusion. I don't know. It's just, I heard it was fun, but I put my money with Metroid Prime at first.
No, I got both on. I got both on day one. Like Metroid Fusion, like it gets a lot of shit for the like it kind of like leads you a bit more than like someone who likes Super Metroid would. But like it's still pretty good. Like I don't know what people are going on about. It's pretty. People are like looking that gift horse in the mouth like pretty severely. It's insane.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to check it out. Yeah. It's just, I mean, you know, money's tight. You know, gotta pick and choose. And they both came out on the same day.
Yeah.
I went with one Metroid experience. So the last bit of news is about a new game announcement. A new NHL Hits game called NHL Hits Pro has been announced. It's going to have online, and instead of the 3-on-3 arcade action from the first one, or the first two, it's going to have 5-on-5 gameplay, and the cover athlete is Nicklas Lidström, who's a defenseman on the Detroit Red Wings. But yeah, so it's coming to GameCube and Game Boy Advance.
Nice.
And it's going to be online, but we did find out that the online isn't going to be on GameCube, which, I mean, we have that broadband adapter coming out, and, you know, stuff like Mario Kart might support it. We can only hope. So I just don't know why they're not taking advantage of, you know, what the system has to offer.
If I cared about hockey, I might actually care about this.
Yeah. And then even still, I mean, this game, they had the first two games in the series, which are pretty cool. I mean, they were made by Black Box Games, who are the guys behind the greatest arcade soccer game of all time, Sega Soccer Slam, which, I mean, that came out exclusively on GameCube and then got released on other systems. I mean, it's bullshit, man. But, yeah, these new guys are developing this game. They're called, wait, I need to look it up and need to check the press release. Next Level Games. They're from Vancouver. So maybe you know them, Tyler, because you're from Canada, and it must be a very small place.
Yeah, they made a game. I just got to hop in a sled. They're just down the road.
It's their first game.
First game?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Why can't Silicon Knights just make everything?
Yeah.
I mean, Eternal Darkness was so great. I can't wait to see Two Human. Because, I mean, maybe they'll finally, you know, finish that game after so many false starts. That would be really cool.
That would be spectacular. Like, those crazy videos, like, of it, of, like, the bald guy with the weird beard and stuff. I can't wait. That game's going to be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess this, like, Next Level Games, like, I guess they're, like, too new. Like, obviously it shows, like, us Canadians, like I don't know, if, like, we're, like, behind on the times of technology or something. Like, why can't we make a game online on the GameCube? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, they should, like, before they even got the job, they should have been able to prove that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's it for news right now. So let's move on to looking at some recent reviews that went up on the website. And you can check out that website, www.planetgamecube.com. And the first review that went up is Mario Party E, which is the e-reader Mario Party game. And I still don't have an e-reader. I don't know when I'm going to get one. But Rick Powers gave this a pretty good review. I mean, it's $10, and you get a deck of 64 cards and a paper playmat, and then you use the e-reader. And he gave it an 8 out of 10, so that's cool.
Man, that is something I'll never be able to play.
The appearance, and just so you have the full breakdown, he gave the appearance an 8, the quality a 7, the construction an 8.5, because it's a hardware review. Yeah. I mean, I've always been interested in that stuff, but it just, I mean, I don't know if the e-reader is really the future that Nintendo makes it out to be.
Yeah. Well, I think if they put, like, a Pokemon game out with, like, Pokemon cards, like, boom, like, I'm down. I'm there. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And they're going to. Like, come on. Like, buying cards, like, that's huge. Like, the Pokemon, there's so many of them. Like, it just makes perfect sense. Like, come on.
Totally.
Yeah. I think card games are always great. It's just kind of weird when you mix them together with, like, digital video games.
Yeah.
Like, when you're scanning them in. Weird.
So another review that got posted, Johnny Metz posted a review for Batman Dark Tomorrow, which was a Kemco-developed game that came out the other week, and he gave it a 4.5, and the full score breakdown, he gave the graphics a 9, the sound a 10, but the control got a 3, the gameplay got a 4, the last ability got a 6.
So it looks great, plays awful.
Yeah. I mean, I was always interested in this game. I mean, I love Batman. I still kind of really dug Batman Vengeance, that GameCube launch title. It was one of my first GameCube games, and it wasn't like amazing, but it was fun. And I was kind of hoping that this game would deliver some of that. But I mean, the animated series guys aren't behind it, and I guess Ubisoft just You know, I haven't played too much from Ubisoft, but it looks like they might have longer legs than this Kemco company.
I don't know. It's just another shitty Batman game. Like, what else are we going to get? Yeah. Like, there's no reason to anticipate anything else. It's licensed, so it's going to be crap.
Yeah, that's just the unfortunately world it is. And I love me some Batman, and I kind of like that Super Nintendo game. That was pretty cool. But those are like, you know, there's like three good Batman games out of like 30. I don't think the odds of us getting a good Batman game in the future is likely.
No.
And then we have our two Wind Waker reviews from Billy and Rick. They both gave it a 10. I mean, that game is awesome. But, I mean, I have some problems with it, but I don't know if I'd really... I don't know necessarily if I'd give it a 10 out of 10 if I were to review it right now.
I still need to finish it.
It's a new Zelda game, man. Yeah, I mean... I'm stuck on that stupid Triforce thing, but we'll talk about that more in the other segment.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's move on to some Japanese impressions. So we have two sets of impressions from Japan for two recently released games, both written by our overlord, Billy Berghammer. One's on PNO3, which is one of the Capcom 5. And, yeah, I mean, it's the first one out. And this is from Shinji Mikami. He's done a lot of work with the Resident Evil series, and it seems like Billy's kind of lukewarm on it. He thinks it's kind of cool, but I mean, it seems to be a little weird because it's like you're like dancing and you're shooting stuff.
Uh huh. You haven't lost me yet. I'm really pumped for it. Like the whole like everything, every one of those Capcom 5 games looks. I can't believe the commitment they made to the GameCube. Like, I just love it. And if PNO3 is like a sign of things to come, like we're gonna get blown away. Like, Beautiful Joe looks amazing. That crazy like I think that game's gonna become a Kid Icarus game, like guaranteed. Like, do you guys remember Kid Icarus?
What is it? Dead Phoenix?
Yeah, something.
Whatever.
Yeah. Oh. With the wings, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean that's the one I always forget. Yeah. And then that Killer 7 game, I don't know. That's a weird game.
Yeah.
I don't know what the dude behind that is smoking, like, seriously. But the other game that Billy imported, and both of these games came out at the end of March, is Soul Calibur 2, which has Link in it. Mm. I mean, that the Namco fighting game is making its debut on Nintendo systems after being on Dreamcast and stuff. And I've heard really cool things. I've never gotten a chance to play it. But this game has Link in it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of excited for this. Mainly because Link's in it. I won't lie.
Right, only reason.
Yeah, there's no reason. There's no problem with that, man.
I don't know much else about the series, so, yeah.
And, like...
Billy's really positive on it.
Yeah, I think it's going to do really, really well. And I don't think we need to worry about the franchise, like, going anywhere else. Like, we missed out on the first one. Sucks. Missed out on Soul Blazer. Sucks. But going forward, like, come on. Like, that Link alone, like, that's just solidifying, like, some crazy weird deal. The Triforce arcade board, like, come on. Like, it's guaranteed.
So then the last thing that we're going to highlight as far as stuff on planetgamecube.com is Rick Powers got a chance to visit Nintendo's North Bend facility, which, if you don't know, they have, you know, the HQ in Redmond, and, you know, we have some features from there, too. But this is the production facility, so this is where they, like, you know, box all the games and then, you know, ship them out. So he has some really cool pictures. He got to go on a tour. He got to see, you know, Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire. I mean, although they're out now, they weren't at the time. And he got to see some Wind Waker stuff, too, before it came out. It's really neat. You should check it out.
It's certainly interesting that he got to go inside the factory and actually look around at what goes on in there.
Yep.
And definitely. For those of you who haven't gone over and looked at it yet, there's some really cool, like, pictures of, like, cases just full of Nintendo memorabilia, which is really awesome.
Got, like, all these Game Boy Advances, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
I really like the box.
I hope I can go there someday.
I like the big box with, like, 8 games in it. That's awesome. It looks like it must be going to, like, a mom-and-pop store or something.
So, yeah, we've got some recent releases, you know, in case you're not playing them. Wind Waker, man, come on. And then Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, the third generation of Pokemon. I mean, it's just the same game over and over. I haven't played a game since Red and Blue.
What?
I don't know if I will. Who knows?
You didn't pick up Gold Silver?
No, I didn't. Man.
I really like those a lot more than Red Blue.
Yeah, whenever I felt the urge to play a Pokemon game, I just replayed Blue. And I can play all my Game Boy games on my Game Boy Advance, so why not?
Yeah. That's a weird attitude, man. Pokemon's it's amazing. I'm loving it. I picked up Ruby myself. Patrick, did you pick up either of them?
I got Ruby.
You got Ruby too? Oh man! Like, I don't even know who we're gonna trade with. I was gonna mail my cartridge to you, but we can't even do that anymore. So, fuck.
Yeah. So the other thing is this weird game came out in Japan. Haven't heard anything about it coming over to North America yet, but it's called Made in Wario. It's a Game Boy Advance game where you play these things they call them micro games.
Okay.
And it's just like these games that they're not mini games, they're just a couple seconds long, and you pick your nose and stuff by pressing a button on the Game Boy Advance. It seems really weird.
Yeah, that's not coming out.
I guess they're not making Wario Land games anymore, and they're just gonna use him in sports games and this weird stuff.
It's so weird to see him go from these platformers to this really really oddball thing that just probably won't come to North America because it is that kind of niche Japanese title.
Yeah, and I know there's a Treasure Wario game that supposedly is coming out soon, I think, but I'm not 100% sure. We'll probably hear a lot more about, whether or not some of these games are coming out at E3 in May, so stay tuned for that. I assume we'll probably hear a lot about stuff like Metroid Prime 2 and Mario Kart and stuff like that.
Well, don't count on this main Wario game. That's staying there. when have we ever got a game with nose-picking in it here? Give me a break.
And then, I mean, just looking at, the other games that are on the horizon, F-Zero for GameCube is coming out in June in North America. I'm really excited for that. I really liked F-Zero X, so.
Yeah, but this one's by, Sega.
This one's made by, Sega, so it's a little worrisome. Yeah. I don't know.
Exactly. I can't get that excited for it, but whatever.
And then also on the horizon, coming out in the middle of April, is Golden Sun, The Lost Age.
Woo!
Yeah, I really loved the first one. I don't know if I'm going to pick up the second one, because the first one kind of lost me near the end.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I'm not invested in the story. It just feels like it's trying too hard to be a Super Nintendo RPG. I'd rather just, boot up the emulator. Play Chrono Trigger.
Oh. Well, I got a little piece of paper with my, 64 number and letter code so I can import my stuff into Golden Sun 2.
Who the hell wants to do that? Oh.
Well, I'm going to, because I can't wait. Camelot, makes some great... I remember this was, one of the first, the graphics blew me away for the first one. That sold me on the Game Boy Advance. How could I, oh my god. It's ridiculous. It looks incredible. It looks like N64 3D. It's so good. Well, maybe.
So are you guys going to pick that up when it comes out next week?
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm kind of excited for Ikaruga. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not, but I think it was a Dreamcast game, and it's this shooter by those guys from Treasure. I really only know them from that game Sin and Punishment that never came out in North America, but always looked really cool.
Yes.
And Dynamite Heady, which I love the crap out of on the Genesis. But yeah, I mean, Ikaruga is coming out, so it's a shooter, and you're a ship and stuff. There's different colors, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
That's coming out next week, too.
Well, if, Radiant Silvergun is, any sign of anything, just buy it, even if you don't want it, and just hold on to it, because it's going to be worth something. It's ridiculous. These treasure shooters are, they make, 10 of them altogether.
And then there's this weird game coming out in Japan at the end of the month. It's called Gift Paya. Once again, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not, but... It's from this development team, Skip. That, I don't really know what else they've done, but it seems kind of like Animal Crossing. I don't know. It's weird, but it seems like it. I don't know if it'll come over. Probably won't.
Isn't it that one that they're saying it's a girls RPG or something?
Yeah, something. It's weird.
What a weird. Why would that's such a weird thing to market? I don't know. Yeah. Whatever.
All right. I guess that's it for this week's Planet GameCube, or I guess we should say PGC newscast. I hope you enjoyed it, and stay tuned next week when I'm sure we'll be talking about, at least you guys will be talking about Golden Sun: The Lost Age. I don't know if I am or not, but maybe I'll cave. I don't know.
Tyler might be able to convince me to get it.
Oh,
yeah. We'll continue the march towards E3 in May. That's the middle of, I think it's May 14th, 16th. So get ready for that. We'll have a bunch of coverage there, and it'll be awesome.
I'm excited.
Right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Hey, and welcome to another segment here on Planet GameCube Connectivity. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and with me is Trick Barnett.
With the Wind Waker fever.
Yes, we're here to talk about that brand new Zelda game that we are all loving the crap out of, for the most part. The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. It came out back in December in Japan, and it was Jonathan Metz reviewed it for us back then. It's in a spoiler-free import review, if you're still curious. And he gave it a 10 out of 10. He liked it just a little bit. And then the other week, Billy and Rick Powers both had launch day reviews of Wind Waker. So that's kind of fantastic. Everyone loves it. So now Patrick and I are going to talk about how we feel about the newest Zelda game, or the newest Zelda, if you will.
That was the cheesiest pun I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was all down on this game when it first came out, and now that it's out, or when it was first announced, now that it's out, let's see how we feel about it. So we've had it for a couple weeks. Trick, how far are you in the game right now?
I am at the Temple of the Gods, I think it is called, and I'm kind of stuck there. Can't really move past where I am, and I just don't know what to do. I'll have to pull up a FAQ or something at some point, or go out by the guidebook.
Yeah. I mean, game FAQs is a wonderful repository for such things.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit farther than you. I don't know. Do you care about spoilers as much, or?
Not really. You go ahead.
All right. Yeah. So I am during the fabled Triforce hunt, and I am frustrated, sir. I am very frustrated.
It's a frustrating game, I guess. You can give it that.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed the first bits, like, you know, the stealth stuff and the Forsaken Fortress was kind of neat.
That was neat, but hard.
Yeah. I mean, it was just kind of weird. It was something I've never really experienced in a Zelda game, which was really fun. And I really liked Outset Island, or whatever the first place that you start is. Just really, really pretty. I love the way everything animates in this game. It's wonderful. I mean, it's something that you can definitely tell, like, this game couldn't have been made on the Nintendo 64. It could only be made on the GameCube. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, cell shading, I haven't been that familiar with it before. I know there was that game Cell Damage, which, in all honesty, after Wind Waker, I kind of want to check out Cell Damage to see how cell shading is, but it's probably not as good.
Was that on GameCube as well?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That came out for all three systems, I think. I'm really digging it, though, up to this point. I mean, I like just controlling younger Link. Dragon Roost Cavern was really cool. And I like how that's kind of like, they kind of bill it as a sequel to Wind Waker, or a sequel to Ocarina of Time, I mean, which is just bonkers when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, because that Zelda timeline has always been so mysterious. And, I mean, we all think that, like, you know, I guess, like, Zelda 1, Zelda 2, Fall of Zelda 1, and, like, Link's Awakening and Link to the Past are kind of linked. and I think, like, Oracle of Seasons and Ages might be related to Ocarina. I don't know. I haven't played those.
Aren't Seasons and Ages kind of just one in the same game? Or are they really different?
Well, I mean, it's, like, two different... I don't know. I'm not
gonna... I only played one of them. So
yeah, I haven't played either. I wish that there was some way I could play them now, because it's getting harder to find those copies. And mm-hmm. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Something about Wind Waker, just the whole art style and just sailing around the ocean, for sure, is one of the most, like, just captivating moments, I guess you could put it that way. It's a little tedious sometimes going from point A to point B, but
it's kind of my issue with it is that sometimes it's too expansive and I feel like there's not as much to do.
On the flip side, there is a lot to do if you really want to, like, look for it. Yeah. There's those, like, hidden sunken treasures, there's those tons of just, like, little tiny islands that you can just hop onto.
Yeah.
So, is it a clue? No. You know, a clue jelly or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's just a lot of fun.
But I like how they have, like, the Deku Tree is kind of in it. Or I guess it's the new one that was born at the end of Ocarina of Time, or at least when you're an adult. And that's pretty cool. And I like the little leaf guys, and the leaf weapon that you get is fun to use.
Is the leaf a weapon or just an item that you use to, like,
yeah, fire? Well, I mean, the item, okay. I mean, you can, you know, kind of use it to blow air at people, I guess. Yeah.
I really like some of the new items that they introduce in Zelda games, and this one's no different. Like, I really like, isn't it like a leaf or something that you act as, like, a parachute to hover around?
The Deku leaf.
Deku leaf, okay.
And the grappling hook is kind of like, I mean, it fits with the theme, and you do get a hook shot later on, but it feels like the grappling hook is kind of like just a, you know, a little bit of a novel way to do something that we've seen as the hook shot in recent games, mm-hmm. in something kind of more classical. The skull hammer looks really neat. You know, it's a hammer with a skull on it. But yeah, have you tried any of the Tingle Tuner stuff?
I turned it on once, and it was it was strange. I'll say that.
Yeah, I don't have a Link cable yet, so I haven't checked it out yet. I don't know if I will. I mean, it really depends if there's anything that comes out that I really want to check out. There's that Crystal Chronicles Final Fantasy game coming out. That might be cool, but if it comes to North America, maybe I'll check it out. I don't know. But I guess the big elephant in the room with all this is how they kind of have old Hyrule in this game, which is kind of awesome. You haven't gotten to that point, though, so
I've read about it at this point, though.
Yeah,
like I've heard.
But after you beat the Tower of the Gods, you go under the water, and it's Hyrule Castle from Ocarina of Time. It's really, really cool. And I mean, I've kind of given up on it. The Triforce hunt just got really frustrating, and I had a friend of mine who was near the end, and I replayed using his save file like the last half of Ganon's Castle and got to see the really cool ending where Link fucking stabs Ganondorf right in the head.
That's
and
just it's all awesome. Over the internet.
It's so
at this
cool.
Point.
Yeah. It's everywhere, man. And it's so cool. And you're doing that as the old Hyrule is crumbling around you. It has kind of a poetic ending. I think it's really cool. But
certainly a very contrast to the art style. I think the game kind of puts off where it's this kind of cartoony cell shade graphics, and then they just stab Ganon in the head.
Yeah, and it's a pretty emotionally charged story, because it's not like Ganon's totally evil in this game. Like, he just wants to go back to his old home.
Yeah.
He just wants, like, things the way they were, and I guess things the way they were like him terrorizing Hyrule. But I mean, there's a kind of, like, he's not just, you know, trying to take over the world. He wants to get the world back so he can take it over. But, yeah, I guess, I mean, you're not finished with it yet, but we can kind of think about it now. Where do you think the Zelda series is going to go from here?
I think it'll probably stick with this art style, maybe, because it's hard to say. I think it'll just kind of expand and maybe go back to something like Ocarina. That'd be my first guess. Go back to something more like Ocarina, because they are getting a lot of, heat for this kind of, it's so radically different than what was already enjoyed. So I think maybe kind of stick with this art style, but revert back to more of the older tropes of Ocarina and Majora's Mask.
Yep. I mean, I kind of agree to that. I wonder if we'll ever see like that Space World 2000 footage ever really get into a game. I mean, I think that's something that would probably blow the socks off of, you know, everyone who's been clamoring for that. But at the same time, I mean, I feel like if they went in that direction, it wouldn't look as kind of, like, picturesque as this. Especially, I guess, if they keep it on the GameCube, I'd rather just see them do another Wind Waker game. But maybe on the next system, whatever that is, you know, when they have fancier graphics, maybe they can take this kind of the animation of Wind Waker and take it so it's in like a, you know, maybe more realistic graphics, but still kind of keep the character. I mean, that would be my ideal future Zelda game.
I agree with you. I'd really like to see it kind of become this more realistic open world, maybe even game that just kind of still emulates the Zelda feel that I love.
Yep. I don't know if there's that much else to say about this game, except for I hope you're enjoying it. And, that's it.
It's hope Zelda. You should go get it now if you didn't, because it is the next Zelda game.
Yeah, and I guess Maybe we'll do one of these for one of these kind of segments on Golden Sun when that comes out. I don't know. It depends on how into it we all get. Yeah. I still don't think I'm going to pick it up, but who knows. If not, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Planet GameCube newscast. I'm Neil Ronahan, staff writer at planetgamecube.com. And with me, we've got Patrick Barnett. And I think that just about does it for this week's show. Please send in any email that you want. So maybe like we'll read it on the show. I don't know. This whole thing is kind of new to us. But if you want to send us any email, send it to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And yeah, I guess talk to us in the forums, because as of right now, unless we gave you our phone numbers, we don't have any other way to communicate. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And maybe we'll do a bonus segment soon on something like X-Men 2 when that comes out. Because
yeah.
I'm super stoked for that. Did you see the first X-Men movie?
I did, yeah. Kind of hoping it's better.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't too hot on that. I love the X-Men, though, so I'm still pretty excited. And it seems like this, like, they might do stuff with, like, the Phoenix Saga, which just blows my mind. And it seems like, you know, Nightcrawler, and I've seen some, like, clips and stuff, and it looks like it's going to be great. I'm really excited.
I completely agree. I'm really excited.
All right, well, that just about does it. Bye, guys.
Yeah. See ya.
I mean, that's Bioshock Infinite in a nutshell. I mean, I think you summed it up perfectly, Zach.
I agree. I mean, you know, best spoiler cast on the internet, if I may say.
Yeah, I mean, everyone did their version of it, but I think our version might have been the strongest. And, for those of you just getting back from that other dimension, I guess you guys found a way back. And hopefully, you know, you made it back safely. And
yep.
Come back next week for what will probably be, you know, one solid episode instead of one that diverges into two different dimensions. But you can email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. If you have any questions or anything of that sort of nature, you can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Enron10. Zach, you are?
At ZMiller1902.
And if you want to make sure this never happens again, you can tweet at OKSoda. And at Striker Obi, and make sure that they're both never away during the same weekend, or else maybe we'll go back 50 years next time.
Hold on, Neil. It was pretty cool, though. I mean, we had the voice actress for Elizabeth on this show this week.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it was nice, you know, seeing them, you know, kind of replay scenes from the game. That was cool. Man. Hopefully you guys can go to that other world and hear that.
Yeah. I hope you didn't miss it.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.